Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
Your spirit has been in a state of constant disruption because you won't change course. Everything is going wonderful. And then Sarah, the Bible says, looked out and saw Ishmael, Hagar's son, by Abraham, mocking Isaac. And the party was over. She stopped laughing, put the cake back, take the hot dogs off the grill, put the party hat away, stop the music. She mad again. What you mad about now? I looked out the window and do you not know what I saw? That woman's son was mocking my child. Now, if you want to make a woman mad, I mean, even them little quiet, nice, dainty little women who walk around with lace on their toes and got their fingernails with glitter on it, they turn into guerrilla warfare if you mess with one of them kids. Sarah said, put the cake up. Something's gotta be done. This girl have lost her mind. Her boy is out there mocking my boy. You got to do something. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? I just wanna know what you gonna do. I just wanna know what you gonna do about this. What you gonna do about this? I'm gonna tell you what you gonna do. Let me tell you what you are going to do about this. Put her out, her and her nappy head child. Put both of them out. I don't care where they're gonna stay. I don't care where they're gonna live, but she gonna get up. I ebonized it just a little bit, but and all of a sudden, he has gone from cutting to casting. He has gone from cutting to being asked to cast out the bondwoman and her son, which incidentally is his son. When Sarah says it, she says, cast out the bondwoman and her son, but she knows that's his son. But Sarah don't have no skin in the game. And when you don't have no skin in the game, it's easy to tell people what they ought to do about their situation because you don't have no skin in the game. Now, if this would have been me, this text would have been longer. Because when she said, cast out the bondwoman and her son, I would have gotten right back up in her face and said she wouldn't have been here in the first place if you hadn't have brought her in here. It ain't like I asked you for this woman. This was your idea in the first place. And now you want me to fix what you wanted me to do. You see, Hagar was never Abraham's idea. It was Sarah's idea because she thought it wasn't going to happen. And when she thought it wasn't going to happen God's way, she said, I'll do it my way. Henceforth, Ishmael becomes a child of the flesh. How many things have been born in your house out of the flesh? Out of your unwillingness to wait, out of your impatience, out of your frustration. How many decisions did you make without God? And by the way, wouldn't you hate to live in this house? You got two women in this house. Yeah, I can stop right there. That's the end of it right there. I got two women in the house. They don't like each other. And I got two sons in the house. One is born of the flesh and one of them is born of the promise. And this just sounds like a mess. But Abraham lived with it because sometimes change creates such disruption that you just make the best of a bad situation. How did Abraham go from throwing a party for his son to the biggest fight with his wife ever recorded? The fight was so big, they didn't have to call the police. God had to come. Because Sarah has asked him to cast out the bondwoman and her son. And I believe that Abraham was bond to the bondwoman. Bondwoman actually means that she was a servant, a slave. But I want you to understand that you can't spend that much time with somebody. You can't spend that many nights with somebody listening at them talking about their dreams and their hopes and what happened to them when they were 7 and when I was 12, my dog died and all of that. And after a while, there's a bond to what you bond with, you become bond to. Oh, it's only 12 that could say amen. The rest of them is using that mask as an excuse. Because as long as you got your mask over your mouth, you don't have to say nothing. You can say, I said it under my breath. What you bond with, you become bond to. And Hagar had become unnecessary flesh. She was attached. Ishmael was his flesh. And God is now doing to him what he started out doing to his son. For to cast out the bondwoman and her son is circumcision. And Abraham is good at giving it. But now he's got to receive it. Oh, he's been circumcised in his body, but not in his relationships. And there is no way to get out of this without blood. This is going to hurt. And yet, in order to get his house together, he had to have the courage to change course. In fact, in all fairness, I have to give Sarah some credit. Sarah is making a correction because she is no longer the woman she was before. I want to talk to some people who are no longer the woman you were before. And yet you've got kids angry with you about what you did before. You've got spouses angry with you over what you did before. That ain't just for women. Let's talk to some men who have got some wives that are angry with you over what you did before. And the kids don't like you over who you were before. The problem is people never give people room to change, to grow, to evolve. And even though we are Christians, we are the world's best at alienating people over what they did before. And it takes courage to correct or to change course. Because if he changes course, what will become of Hagar? Where will Hagar go? Where has the ring of Isaac's flesh gone? Hagar is cast into the wilderness. And when God comes down, God does not talk like Sarah. See, sometimes, sisters, you can be right about what you said, but wrong about how you said it. You said, cast out the woman, the bond woman and her son. God comes down and says, I know Ishmael is your seed. Understanding is important to bring about change. You can't just look at it from your perspective just because you don't have no skin in the game. Abraham has skin in the game. Ishmael is his son too.
It's time for the 2022 Woman Thou Art Loosed Conference, and it's the end of an era. The grand finale is underway. Step into the spotlight and take a bow for all you've accomplished and how fabulous you've become. Mark your calendars for September 22nd through the 24th, 2022, and bring a sister along to meet us at the Georgia World Congress Center in Atlanta, Georgia, the site of the first Woman Thou Art Loosed Conference back in 1996. It's a full circle homecoming. Don't miss this transformational weekend fueled with a powerful lineup of extraordinary speakers, encouraging, empowering, and awakening the woman in you. Together, we are building bridges, tearing down walls, and breaking barriers. Visit WTAL.org today and register and book your travel. If you wait, it may be too late. Woman Thou Art Loosed Homecoming.
See, until we take responsibility for the mistakes we made, we cannot change course. As long as you push it off and act like it was just them, and you tell the story where you are always the hero, this woman would have never been in Abraham's life. You brought the woman into his life. You came up with the strategy of them sleeping together. You told him to have a baby. You made this woman your slave and made her sleep with a man that she never picked to sleep with. And now it's all blown up in your face and you want to act like it's his fault. But what is amazing about the text is God comes down and says to Abraham, hearken unto the voice of your wife Sarai, because the woman is right, even though she said it wrong. She is right. And what is happening here is correction. Now I'm almost finished. In order to have correction, you have to have the challenging responsibility of trusting God to handle our mistakes. God says to Abraham, leave Hagar to me. I know Ishmael is your son. I will make of him a great nation. But you can't take your mistake and your miracle and put them all in the same house and make it work. There has to come a cutting away. A cutting away. You can't change course if you can't cut. You can't change course if you can't cast out. And the challenge is to trust me with the collateral damage. Who am I preaching to? Trust me that I don't need you to take care of Ishmael. God says, my grace is sufficient for your mistakes. My grace is sufficient. You don't have to live in this chaos. Your spirit has been in a state of constant disruption because you won't change course. And I don't want you to live in this constant, chaotic, stressful environment of forlornment because your mistakes and your miracles are cohabitating in the same space. All I need from you is the courage to change course. If you don't change course, you're gonna mess up your destiny. If you don't change course, you're gonna mess up your future. If you don't change course, you're not going to be in the place you need to be to become who I created you to be. If you don't change course, you're going to spend the latter years miserable because you won't own up to your mistakes and acknowledge that you were wrong and you won't fix it. And all the dancing and all the shouting and all the giving you do over top of it will not take away from the fact that you still need the courage to change course. Who in here needs the courage to change course? You know what they say? The definition of lunacy is to continue to do the same thing, expecting a different result. You can't be the woman you want to be and the woman you used to be at the same time. You cannot be the man you were created to be and the man you used to be at the same time. And you know that now. But the problem is you just can't bring yourself to change course because of all the people that it would hurt for you to change. And how long will you make those people more important than your destiny? God said, turn them over to me. Oh God, I'm talking to somebody. I'm talking to somebody, I don't know who it is. The Lord sent me here to loose somebody this morning, to liberate somebody this morning. You've been in bondage. You can't even be your best self. You can't do your best work. You can't be who you were created to be because you're stuck in a situation that you helped to create and you're guilty. And you feel guilty, and you overcompensate because you're guilty, and you're in this situation because you're guilty, and you're stuck because you're either way you move, somebody's gonna get hurt, and if you don't move, it's gonna be you. Lift your hands up and say, God, give me the courage to change course. That means I might not get to say everything I want to say. That means I got to hold my peace sometimes. That means sometimes I got to bite my lip. That means sometimes I've got to learn another discipline. That means sometimes I got to bleed. But if I have to bleed to be better, I'm willing to bleed. I'm willing to bleed a little while to be better for a long time. See, I realized that if I didn't have the surgery, the pain would never go away. And if I had the surgery, I would have pain for a little while, but eventually the pain of recovery will go away. See, circumcision hurts real bad, but it doesn't hurt real long. Putting out the bond woman hurt real bad, but it didn't hurt real long. And you gotta decide, are you willing to have a little momentary discomfort to be where you are called to be? Or are you so concerned about the disruption that your change creates that you're willing to be a prisoner in your own life the rest of your life? That's what this text says to me. That's what I get out of this text. That's why this text is important to me. Because every time I ever made a change, somebody got hurt. When God called me to come to Dallas, somebody got hurt in West Virginia. There are people who don't like me now. I've been here 25 years and they're still mad. There are other people that accepted it and they're glad about it. They see it, they get it. But there are some people that just simply refuse to get over. And I had to decide, am I going to spend the rest of my life honoring your expectations of me? Or do I get to live my life the way God called me to live my life? You leave when you want to leave. You come when you want to come. You miss church when you feel like missing. But if I'm not here, you say, well, I came to church and you wasn't there. Don't I get to be a person too? I'm going to break your chain today. The chain that ties you to living up to other people's expectations all of your life. The chain that circumvents you from reaching your destiny and your purpose so you can go ahead and fulfill what God created you to fulfill. We are going into a week of change. We're going to change course. We're going to change direction. We're going to change our focus. We're going to change our attitude. I don't care whether we get to have worship or preaching or whether we just come in here and lay flat out on the floor. I want a gully washing, Holy Ghost, anointed, supernatural revival. Revival is to wake up what's dead, to bring back to life that has gone away, to restore, to bring back the luster of really knowing God. I don't want to pastor church people. I want to pastor saints. Real believers who are washed in the blood of the Lamb, who really want to serve God. I don't want to pastor people who just want to take God on a weekly date on Sunday. Some of you all don't love God, you date Him. Y'all got a weekly date on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday belong to you. And if it's not Sunday, you don't have no skin in the game. And you're asking God for a 7-day blessing with a 1-day commitment. And you've lost your ability. And God sent me to say to you that in order for him to do what you have been praying about, you are going to have to be disciplined enough to put some skin in the game. If you don't put any skin in the game, God cannot do what he wants to do in your life. But if you present your body a living sacrifice before God, God said, I will do a new thing in you, and the former things in your life will be passed away. I hear God talking to somebody. I don't know who it is, but if you're ready for change, give him 30 seconds of crazy praise. You got to be praying and rebuilding your life. You got to be praying and going after your dream at the same time. You got to be praying and humbling yourself. I'm trying to give you some principles.
Whatever the circumstance or challenge, God's promises never go unfulfilled. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive Bishop T.D. Jakes' Guided Prayer Journal, 100 Bold Prayers, and digital access to the Principles with Purpose series.
He said, whatever you lost serving me, I will give it back to you 100-fold.
For your gift of $90 or more, you'll receive SOAR, Bishop's Guide to Building Your Vision from the Ground Up, and the Remembered Favored Love Summer Tote Bag. You'll also receive 100 Bold Prayers and digital access to the Principles with Purpose series.
If it doesn't come from God, it will never happen.
Don't miss out on these powerful resources. Call or click today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Potter's Dungeon.